Where would we be without women? Oh, yeah. I did not say that, but my dearly beloved wife said that. Yeah, I'm going to let that slide. Open your Bibles, if you will, to Psalm 63. In the middle of your Bible is the book of Psalms. Psalm 63. Oops, I'm sorry about that. I'm going to read from verse 1 and through verse 4. Listen to what it says. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. I see thy power and thy glory. So have I seen thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. This is a very interesting passage. I'm going to be really focusing on verse 3, because I really want to talk about this subject. Thy loving kindness is better than life. And that's going to be the subject. But it is a few interesting things here that I'll just mention in passing. Is God your God? That's pretty important. It's one thing to know God's out there, but is he your God? Yes, Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world, but is he your Savior? Is it a personal relationship? That's very important. And if he is your God, it would behoove you to seek him early before it's too late. Yeah. Many people have good intentions and they'll say, well, maybe tomorrow or maybe the next day or maybe this afternoon. It's good to seek him early, especially early in life, young people. You getting the message here, young people? Seek God early in your life.
Amen.
Better to be holy than forgiven is one somebody once said.
Amen.
But let's look at this passage on the part where it says, thy loving kindness is better than life. What is loving kindness? Have you thought about it? It's interesting that our English has changed a little bit, divided into two words now. But in the old days, it's all one word, loving kindness. Here's the definition I came up with. See if you agree. Kindness is the deliberate choice to act for another's good, especially when it costs you something and gains you nothing. Is that a fair definition? Brother Stephen last week mentioned about something about being kind. Being kind is a willingness to suffer discomfort for the benefit of others. Sounds pretty good to me. Sounds really tough to live. Yeah. Thank God God is able to do that. He's got great power. And David said he saw his power and his glory. God is a God of loving kindness. Amen. Kindness is about benevolent intention expressed through action. It's not merely a feeling. Loving kindness, that is all the definition I just gave. Loving kindness, therefore, would be kindness arising from love, tenderness, and compassion. Are we on the right track? Kindness, of course, includes compassion, patience, mercy, gentleness, forgiveness, and love that is faithful. Kindness. To be kind means having or showing a benevolent, friendly, or warm-hearted nature or disposition ready to assist and show consideration for others. Some words that go along with it, sympathetic, obliging, considerate, in context, of course. David here in this context, what he's writing this psalm, he was being persecuted, he was chased out into the desert, and basically he was saying, I would rather have God's presence in the desert than a palace without him. Is your life like that? Have you come to the place that it's better to have the loving kindness of God than whatever else? That is a journey of faith, as Brother Joshua mentioned this morning. The just shall live by faith. And if we're going to live by faith, I would imagine if we're to take up our cross and follow the Lord Jesus Christ, that implies that we're going to do as He did. Do you think there's anybody more loving kind, that had more loving kindness than Jesus Christ? Do you think Jesus Christ would be a good example? Do you think that God Himself is a good example of loving kindness? And David concluding, looking at God, meeting Him in His sanctuary, he concluded, "Thy loving kindness is better than life." Amen. Now I know you really appreciate your life. You spend your whole life living it. And David said, God's loving kindness is better than that. I can think of some pretty good things in this life. Fishing, pretty good thing. Spending time with your wife, pretty good thing. I will say that I had a full set of hair when I got married, but spending time with your wife is a pretty good thing. Children! Children! What a blessing to have children. Food! We were talking about food this morning. Food! Tacos! I can eat tacos any day of the week. Give me some good hot sauce. Yeah. Did you know the loving kindness of God is greater than all that? Do you believe it?
Amen.
Do you believe it?
Amen.
God's loving kindness is eternal, unchanging, not threatened by death, not dependent on circumstances. Amen. Did you know when you are in the throes of despair, God's loving kindness is still consistent? Did you know that when you are walking the valley of darkness, God's loving kindness is still there?
Amen.
Did you know when you want to throw up your hands and say, I give up, God's loving kindness is still there?
Amen.
David said, thy loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise thee. If you ever get a hold of that, your lips will open up and you'll begin praising the Lord because you saw the Lord as He is. Life can be fragile, painful, uncertain, temporary, and a whole lot of other things. And God says, or at least David said, the loving kindness of God is greater than life. Loving kindness is better than life because life without God is empty. God steadfast in His love gives meaning, joy, and hope, and even death cannot take away. There was a time in my life that I knew not love. Then I heard about the love of God. Amen. That God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And I found out that salvation was free because Christ paid it all.
Thank you, Lord.
It makes you rejoice. Have you ever come to the place in your life where you realize life isn't all there is? That is a very good lesson. And the quicker you learn that lesson, the better off you're going to be.
Amen.
David learned it early. He learned early on that the loving kindness of God is better than life.
Amen.
Did you know there are people all around the world are miserable? There might be quite a few people in this room this morning that are miserable. They have miserable lives. They have nothing to look for. They have no hope. They're without God in this world. They're desperate. They're searching. And what great message do they go? Searching because their soul is empty. They turn to drugs. They turn to alcohol. They turn to sex. They turn to depravity. It's amazing what people will do when they're empty. But if you ever find the loving kindness of God, you'll find out it's a whole lot better than life. I did some studying. I was going through the Bible. Did you know? And I'm going to give you these rapid fire, if you don't mind. You got your Bibles ready? Everybody tells me, Brent, you go too fast. I didn't get to write them down. That's why we tape it and you can rewind. types of kindness in the Bible. Psalm 31 verse 21, blessed be the Lord, for he has showed me his marvelous kindness in a strong city. God's kindness is marvelous. His kindness is the kind that makes your jaw drop. His kindness is such that when you, it's like going to the rock or going out there to the Grand Canyon. The first time you go out to one of them viewpoints and your jaw just drops. It's like driving up to New York and crossing over into Canada and walking up to the Niagara Falls and you're going, wow. The psalmist says that God's kindness is marvelous. Marvelous. It's fantastic. It's great. It's wonderful. I'm never going to forget my first adventure out to the Grand Canyon. We're walking down the trail in 110 degree heat. And somebody had a boombox. I don't know why they were doing that, but they had a boombox on their shoulder. Big old boombox. And they're walking down there. And guess what it was playing? As we got closer, we could understand the words. Oh Lord my God, how great thou art! I thought, turn it up! Turn it up! Look around! How great God is! What a song! And the psalmist said, thy kindness is marvelous. Psalm 117 and verse 2, he said, his merciful kindness is great toward us. And the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord. Did you know that God's kindness is merciful? I believe, and I think I'm even going to read it later on in this message, that God is kind even to the unjust.
Thank you, Lord.
Our kindness is many times limited, forgetful, inconsistent or inconsistent.
Amen.
That's our kindness. And many times our kindness is given begrudgingly. I have to do it. Daddy said I have to say thank you. Mommy reminded me I have to say please if I want ice cream. Or your wife reminds you, you could say please. Thank you, Janice. You could say please. A kind word goes far, doesn't it? Yeah. But kindness is not always merciful, and the kindness that God shows to us is merciful. Aren't you glad that God is merciful?
Amen.
I'm on the internet probably too much, but I do get engaged with people about the gospel. It's amazing how many people out there say, I don't believe in God. Do you know why they say that? They don't like him. They don't like a God of justice. They don't like a God of holiness or righteousness. They don't want a God that puts demands upon their lives. I tell them all the time, I said, you really ought to be thanking God because he is a just and holy God, but he's also merciful.
Thank you, Lord.
That is, he's willing to forgive you even though you don't deserve it.
Thank you, Lord.
And the problem with the sinners, and they've never entered into the loving kindness of God, is they're still walking around thinking that they're pretty good people. God is blessed to have me. And with that kind of attitude, you'll never find the loving kindness of God. But his kindness is merciful. I'm thankful that God is a God of mercy.
Amen.
And that his kindness is merciful. Isaiah chapter 54 and verse 8. In a little wrath, I hid my face from thee for a moment. But with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord, thy Redeemer. Oh yeah, we can scratch our heads sometimes. When God's chastising belt comes out and it seems like he's given us a good whooping, he's given us a good spanking. Nobody likes to be chastised. But the Bible clearly says in the book of Hebrews that the Lord chastises those whom he loves. And if you be without chastisement, I don't want to offend anybody, just quoting the scriptures. If you be without chastisement, you are a bastard and not a child of God. That's pretty straightforward, isn't it? Somebody says, how do you know if you're saved or not? I say, well, when you do wrong, do you get a whooping? No. I said, well, you need to get saved then. One thing I know about God, He's faithful to chastise His children because He loves His children and He does not want them to go the wrong way. Why do you chastise or don't chastise your children? If you chastise them just simply because you're frustrated, you shout at your children, be quiet because the football game is on and you can't hear the score. Well, that's not a reason to chastise. In the Bible, chastisement of children is based in love. That is, you have concern about their souls more. What do we say about kindness? Kindness is the deliberate choice to act for another's good, especially when it costs you something and gains you nothing. So you, father, you, mother, if you have the best interest in your child, many times it will require of you to turn off the TV, turn off the water washing the dishes, go over and attend your child and give them a little lesson in chastisement. Why? Because that is an expression of love. If you do not teach your child, no, he'll stick a fork in the light socket and you won't have a child anymore. If you don't teach your child no when they're young, when they get to be teenagers, they will give in to the temptation of drugs, alcohol, and sex. And then your sweet little daughter will come home pregnant by some young man. Are you listening? Just a reminder about sermons. These sermons are for you. Not for them out there. They're not here. If they were here, I would give it to them, but you're here. So the message is for you.
Amen.
It's not for the guy next to you. It's not for your wife. It's not for, you know, your cousin. It's not for your child over there. It's for you.
Amen.
I try to build my messages for me. What I need. Because I know if I need it, you probably need it. I found that we're all made out of the same cloth.
Amen.
I should say the same dust. Yeah. He says, everlasting kindness. Aren't you glad? Our suffering is but a moment. Our trials, like a blink of an eye. But His kindness is everlasting. Joel chapter 2 and verse 13, he says, rend your heart and not your garments. In other words, don't put on a show. Do something about the real problem, your heart. We all have heart problems. Rend your heart and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for He is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth Him of the evil. Aren't you glad that God has great kindness?
Amen.
Have you ever met a kind person? You don't forget them, do you? As soon as I mentioned that, your thought came into your head, and there was a picture of that face of that kind individual. Maybe it was a teacher, maybe it was a neighbor, maybe it was a friend, maybe it was a coworker. But just as soon as I said it, you remember that. We remember them, don't we? Can you remember God and how kind He's been to you?
Amen.
Here's one of my favorite verses, Jeremiah 31:3. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. How many marriages start out with love, but it doesn't last? I was just talking to somebody the other day about the number of people in the world that have arranged marriages. In other words, the young lady didn't get see the handsome young fellow or the ugly fellow. And the young man didn't get to see the beautiful bride-to-be. They just were matched up and they got married. And you know what? They learned to love one another. And their marriages actually last. It is an amazing thing. Why? Because those types of marriages are not built on emotion. They're built on the reality of love, the fact that love is a choice that you make every day. And love, guess what? Love is kind. Interesting. But I didn't finish this verse. Yea, I have loved thee with everlasting love. Therefore, with what? With loving kindness I have drawn thee. Did you know God is drawing you? Look at a corollary verse real quick. It just came to my head here. In Romans chapter 2. In verse 1 he says, therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest does the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance?
Amen.
Aren't you glad that God is patient?
Yes, sir.
Aren't you glad that God is long-suffering? He endures long with you?
Amen.
You don't endure your wife, your husband, your children, your teacher, your coworker, your boss, your sergeant, your commander. You don't suffer long with them, but God Almighty, suffers long with you.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
And Jeremiah said that his loving kindness, he draws us with his loving kindness. And that is one of the great judgments of God in the final day, that God, after all those years in your life, was drawing you with your kindness, with his kindness, showing you mercies every day, providing the things that you need graciously and freely, pouring out abundance of blessings upon you. And when you finally reach heaven in the judgment day without God, you're going to see that you trampled underfoot the kindness of God. Some of you parents know that. You bestow all your love upon your child, and they just abuse that love. Isn't that painful? Isn't that painful?
Yes.
Have you called your mother today? When's the last time you spoke to your mother? I bet she would like a call. When's the last time you spoke to your daddy? I bet he would appreciate a call. I know he's macho and he doesn't think he needs a call, but deep down he would really like a call. With everlasting kindness and everlasting love and loving kindness have I drawn thee. I am so thankful that I have a God of love.
Amen.
But how does this apply practically? Are you saved this morning? Do you know the Lord? Have you experienced the love of God? Are you aware of the gospel, the good news that Christ died for you, that God first loved us? And therefore we, what? We love Him because He first loved us. But how do we apply these things? Well, one of the things Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me. Do you think He's just talking about a trail that He's walking down? No, He's saying, follow my example. Do as I have done. I've given you an example. I've given you a way to follow. Look over in Luke in chapter 6. You might have heard this before. Luke chapter 6 and verse 31. Jesus said, and as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. How about that for a motto? How about putting that in practice for a week? Better a lifetime, but just see if you can do it for a week. Try it for a day. Tomorrow morning is Monday. Let's start out Monday morning. We're going to go to work. We're going to go to class. We're going to be with our parents. We're going to be with our neighbors. How about we put that into practice? And once you see that you fail time and time again, you're going to thank God for His loving kindness.
Amen.
This is what Jesus said, as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. Do you want men to be kind to you? be kind to them.
Amen.
Do you want men to be merciful to you? Be merciful to them.
Amen.
Well, let's see what Jesus said. He didn't stop there. He says, for if you love them which love you, how many people find that hard to do? It's not hard for me to love my wife because she loves me. I don't know why, but she does. So I love her. Some of you characters, it's a whole lot harder for me to love because you're not so friendly and so loving. He says, if you love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. It is amazing how drunkards can be so loving. They love other drunkards. They always want to hug each other. I think because they're about ready to fall down, but I don't know. But have you noticed that? Sinners are loving to each other. Sinners have wives and husbands. Sinners have children. Isn't that true? So if you love them that love you, what's the reward? What thanks do you get? That's natural. It's obvious, of course. And if you do good to them which do good to you, tit for tat, you take me out to eat, I'll take you out to eat. You do good to me and I'll do good to you. You loan me your lawnmower, then I'll loan you my rake. If you do what you good do you, what thank have you? For sinners also do even the same. Did you know that neighbors share things? They help each other out. Have you ever noticed that? So, you know, here you're a Christian. What have you done greater than sinners? You've experienced the loving kindness of God. What have you done to demonstrate that you are acquainted with the loving kindness of God? Are you walking just as other sinners are walking? That's no great thing. Well, there's no great thanks in that. If you lend to them of whom you have hoped to receive, what thank have ye? I will loan you five, but I want it back by Monday. I'll loan you this money, but I'm expecting it back. Sinners do that all the time. Sometimes with interest. For sinners also lend to sinners and to receive such again. But listen to what Jesus says. He says, love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest. Listen to his reasoning. For he is kind. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful. Marriages dissolve because one partner or the other or both is willing to forgive as long as they're forgiven. Willing to go the extra mile as long as the other is willing to go the extra mile. Willing to do what's done unto them. And it's a waiting game. And the longer the waiting game goes, the quicker divorce happens. Yeah? I've heard it said, my husband is this, that, and the other. Probably so. What are you? Because when I talk to him, he's saying the same thing about you. Yeah? Isn't that true? How many people here are married? That's what I thought. I was expecting a whole lot more amens. Or at least some oh me's.
Yeah.
Or I'm in trouble now. I've been found out. One of the greatest dangers in marriage is one partner trying to change the other. It's a lifelong event. It's not going to happen. Start in your own heart.
Amen.
Start in your own life and see how much better your marriage will be. Do you think this was good advice that Jesus gave, this golden rule that even sinners quote? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Don't you think that is good advice? Do you know who it comes from? The God of loving kindness. And therefore, David said, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Every time we remember the loving kindness of God, we ought to praise Him. Because He's worthy. Look, if you will, in Ephesians chapter 3. Chapter 4. Here's Paul writing to a church. And he's giving them some advice. He took the first three chapters and he's talking about all the glories and all the blessings that we have in Christ Jesus. And we get to chapter 4, 5, and 6. And he starts to get very practical. How do they say that? Where the leather meets the road. He said, all right, here's where the rubber meets the road. Yeah, thank you. I have my own way of saying things. I have my own language. Hang on. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32. Listen to what Paul commands. He says, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. When you hear the command, be kind, or you hear the command, love your neighbor as yourself, you hear those types of commands, the first gut reaction is, I just don't feel like it. And that's the point. Kindness is not a feeling. We just went over, spent a considerable amount of time defining what kindness is. Kindness is what? The willingness to suffer discomfort for the benefit of others. And Paul says, be kind one to another. We really ought to be kind. And it really should not be hard to be kind to your brother and sister in Christ. I know sometimes it can be, but it shouldn't be. It should be something, oh, that's natural. I need to work on being kind to my neighbor. I need to be kind, work on being kind to my enemies. I need to be kind to them that are unthankful and ungrateful. I need to work on those things. And yet we find it difficult to be kind to those that are kind to us. Am I stepping on toes this morning?
Amen. Amen.
Kindness is not a weakness. Kindness is strength under control.
Amen.
Kindness in marriage means speaking truth without contempt. Forgiving without keeping score. Hello. Loving even when emotions are thin. The problem we as individuals are so controlled by emotions that we forget that God said, love your enemies. There is nothing emotional in me about my enemies. I'm sorry. If you thought I was supposed to have some great emotion for them, I'm sorry. The only kind of emotion I have for them is the wrong kind of emotion. But the command of God is, the command of the Lord Jesus Christ is, love your enemies. Love that person you don't like. That tells me that love is not emotion. Kindness as parents is discipline without love, produces rebellion, and love without discipline produces chaos. Be kind to your children. Take time. Deny yourself. Turn off the TV. Pay attention to them. Turn off the video games. Kindness is firm, patient, and faithful. Children remember not just what is said, but how we made them feel while saying it. Brother Stephen gave an example last week. I forget what he was preaching on, but I do remember the examples. He was talking a little bit about being kind, I think out of 1 Corinthians 13. And he gave the example that sometimes we have to have uncomfortable conversations. Do you remember that example? Have you ever been at a restaurant with either family members or brothers and sisters of the church, and you're eating tacos, and cilantro got in somebody's tooth, and they're talking to you, and there's that little, and you just don't know what to do. Well, Stephen pointed out that kindness would inform them, hey, you know, you got something. Right? You would let them, it's not comfortable, but it's for their good, right? You don't want them going around the rest of the day because they find out that you knew. If they find out that you knew, they're not going to think kindly of you, right? You knew and didn't tell me? How's that go with the gospel? You knew and you didn't tell me? Anyway, I wrote this down because I was thinking about it as Stephen was bringing that up. How to have those uncomfortable conversations out of kindness. It needs to be said. Amen. How do we do it? Truth! We have love truth! So here's how I imagine it going. Brother, and we're still at the dinner table, the cilantro's still in his tooth, big old green thing sitting there. It's covering up actually two teeth. Because he's got a couple of them there. And so here are the kindness of your heart. Here is how you address the situation. Brother, because you failed to practice proper dental hygiene, you are now found with an embarrassing green thing in your teeth. I would encourage you to get your toothbrush and put some effort into it this time so you do not go through the rest of the day embarrassed. He spoke the truth. But I don't think he was very kind. Right? There is a way to tell the truth with kindness. You're welcome. Take that home and think about it for a while. I'll repeat it. There is a way to tell the truth with kindness. In fact, I have a message I'm working on. Mercy and truth have met together. Yeah, I won't preach that sermon right now, but. Alright, I wrote some notes down. Are you ready? I'm going to give you some examples of being kind or showing kindness. Speaking gently to someone who is angry or difficult. Now this might be a list of 20 things of my own experiences, but that's okay. Speaking gently to someone who is angry or difficult. Like we've already mentioned, it's easy to speak to somebody gently if they're speaking gently to you. But if they're angry with you, then it's more difficult to be kind. Is that not correct?
Yeah. Amen.
Forgiving someone who has wronged you, even when no apology is offered.
Amen.
What did Paul say? Forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Is there anything you could do for Christ's sake? You don't feel like it doing it, but you'll say, for Christ's sake, I'm going to do this.
Amen.
This is what Christ would have me to do, and I'm going to do it. I don't feel like it. I don't want to. My emotions aren't there. I'm not all giddy about doing it. But that's what Christ would do.
Amen.
He served others, and if he served others and he could get on his knees and wash the feet of the disciples, surely I can forgive somebody. Helping a stranger without expecting recognition. Listening patiently when someone needs to be heard. You ever hear that one? Listening patiently when someone needs to be heard. Giving something, food, money, or shelter to those in need. Showing respect to people that society overlooks or dismisses. Do you remember the example when Jesus was talking about the guy goes up to Jericho and he gets hijacked and gets beat up and robbed and he's left on the side of the road. He was a Samaritan and the priests walk by and they go on the other side of the street and do you remember that? The Good Samaritan goes over there and helps him. How many times do you see a drunkard and you say, I want to go on the other side of the street? That's happened to me I don't know how many times in my life. How many times do you see a drug addict and you think, don't want to deal with it? How many times do you see people that are troubled and have difficulties and you think, I don't have time for this?
Amen.
They're not going to listen to me anyway. Yeah, but we're talking about the loving kindness of God, right?
Amen.
Kindness, showing kindness, encouraging someone who is discouraged, offering assistance when it is inconvenient, responding with grace instead of retaliation. Didn't we hear something about Jesus, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth? That's not how we're, as Christians, are supposed to respond. Bearing one another's weaknesses patiently. Ooh. Teaching or correcting without humiliation or cruelty.
Amen.
I know a lot of instructions with children comes from anger or frustration of the parent.
Amen.
Yeah, amen.
And really, if you're frustrated, you need to go take a time out. Mom and Dad, you need to go take a time out. Amen. Then go deal with your child.
Amen.
Kindness is visiting the sick, the lonely, the imprisoned, those in a worse condition than you. Are you agreeing or disagreeing, or is this just too painful for you? I don't know. Or is it too cold? Everybody's frozen. Honestly delivering a message with compassion. Telling the truth with compassion. Defending someone who cannot be defended themselves, showing hospitality to guests and or strangers. Giving generously even when resources are limited. Praying for those who oppose or mistreat you. I think that's a good advice. Treating children, elders, and the vulnerable with dignity. Loving consistently, not only when it is deserved. In other words, loving the unlovely. Now let's hark back just for a moment. When is it that God loved you? When you finally reached that state that you were so in love with God and God said, hey, you made it. Now I'm going to love you. Or was it when you were tromping underfoot the blood of Christ and you did not want him? You were running from God. You hated God. You disliked God. You wouldn't articulate that, but that's the way you were acting. You were ignorant of God. You didn't want to find God. You didn't want to do anything with God's book. You didn't want to do anything with God's people. You didn't want to do with God's songs. You didn't want anything to do with God. The very mention of God in a positive light irritated you. But you would take his name in vain without compunction. God loved us when we were unlovely.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
And the psalmist said, thy loving kindness is better than life. Therefore, my lips shall praise thee.
Amen.
Kindness, brothers and sisters, is love in action.
Amen.
Charity is kind. What I need to do, what I believe you need to do, all of us, is learn to be kind.
Amen.
Patiently examine your heart. Have I been kind? Have I been selfish? Have I been indifferent? Have I been, what's my new word? A narcissist? Seems like I deal with them all the time. Give me one moment, just to remind you, kindness is the deliberate choice to act for another's good, especially when it costs you something and gains you nothing. Can you make some deliberate choices this week? Deliberately going out of your way to be kind. Go out of your way to be kind to your lovely wife. Go out of your way to be kind to your ugly husband. Go out of your way to be kind to your frustrating children. Go out of your way to be kind to your boss that's inconsistent. Am I stepping on your toes? I'm not trying to step on toes. I'm just trying to show you that God is full of loving kindness.
Amen.
And He demonstrates it day and night in our lives when we were not worthy. Yes, that person you intend and you're deciding, okay, I'm going to make an effort. I'm going to be kind to them. I know you don't want to do it, but you're going to make a gallant effort. I'm going to try to be kind. Even though I don't have emotions to back it up, I'm going to do it because that's what Christ did for me. I know it's difficult, and remind yourself that's what Christ did for you.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Can I have a praise ye the Lord?
Praise ye the Lord.
Is all the loving kindness that you got from God? I think you got a whole lot more than that.
Amen.
One more time. Praise ye the Lord for His loving kindness.
Amen.
All right, brothers and sisters, I know it's a trial trying to walk in the Spirit and follow our Lord Jesus Christ, but let's encourage one another to do the right thing. Let's make a gallant effort this week to be kind to our wives, to be kind to our husbands, especially our husbands, be kind to our children, be kind to our bosses, be kind to our neighbors. Let's come back next week and say, bless God, I thank God for His loving kindness and the effect it had on my life. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. We'll see you tonight.
Amen.